Well, we've been going through a series on finding God's will for your life. I've adapted this from Guidance and Wisdom by J.I. Packer that I found it quite appropriate and quite suitable to this day and age. To summarize where we've been, we pointed out that God is our guide. We're not wrong to look for finding His will. But the 4 points is that God can and does guide, that seeking divine guidance is an important thing, that failing to obtain guidance, people have some of the reasons why, and then fourth one is our sovereign guide, that God's will is not one path alone. It is not one destiny. It is God sets new paths before us, and sometimes even the first failures become a lesson that makes the new path even more effective. I think that's the way it was with Jonah and the way it was with Peter, his failure. The legend about Peter is that forever after, when he heard the rooster crowing, he would fall upon his knees and ask forgiveness for his failures, ask for strength in his testimony. And you're always in safe ground when every day you're reminded of past failures and God's help waiting for you. Well, tonight we want to look at God's wisdom and ours. We have been pointing out that the idea of finding God's will is not waiting for some inner ding, some inner light, some alarm to go off, some direction that comes from inside, as though God is telling you which way to walk, which way to, when to walk, when to sit. God gives us our life, and He's given us the ability to reason so that we can make most decisions based on His will once we know it from the Word of God, and what is best. So, two things here. First of all, encouragements to seek wisdom. We become wise when we learn God's wisdom. We're not wise in and of ourselves. We don't know enough. The boundaries of our ability to know is too restricted. God, who knows everything, has condensed things down in the Word of God to where when He explains things to us, we can take this as the truth, and if we act in accordance with His truth, then we are wise. So, encouragements to seek wisdom. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 3:7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Part of wisdom is listening to Him when He says, don't do this, don't do that. Because this is not arbitrary. This is Him saying, I know man, I know you. And doing this thing will be bad for you, and it will take you to a bad place. My wife and I were just talking about a young lady who has messed up her life in so many different ways. And now she's backed herself into a corner and living in sin, living in agony and argument, but she would not be able to just decide not to do it because this was where she's decided to be. She was wise in her own eyes. But when God says don't do it, then it's never wise to do it, you see. Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." I like what the King James margin tells us. Getteth understanding is that draweth out understanding. This is the picture of drawing water out of the well, you see. He has to go through a process to actually draw it out, or perhaps to talk to someone else, a person with greater experience or understanding, and ask enough questions that you draw it out of Him. Wisdom, actually personified, speaks in Proverbs 8, 33 to 36. Here's what wisdom says. Hear instruction. In other words, don't close your ears off, you know. I can't hear you, you know. Don't do that. Hear instruction and be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, wisdom. See, you get blessing to yourself. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. In other words, waiting for wisdom to come, working at it. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain or shall bring forth favor of the Lord. This is why God tells us these right things, because his favor comes with it. But he that sinneth against me, against wisdom, wrongeth his own soul. This is that old saying about cutting off your nose to spite your face, you know. You can't be a winner either way. And so you wrong your own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Because sin is the death dealer. And as we convince ourselves, as we justify, as we work ourselves into a pattern of sin, we're working ourselves into a pattern of death. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is in the circumference, in the circle. You look all around. I think of these girls in their hoop skirts, you know, trying to cross a muddy street or something. And they're watching very carefully that they're not dipping down and dipping the petticoats into the mud. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Colossians 1:9, Paul is praying. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire, and here's his prayer request, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And you see what happens when you find out what God wants. He fills you with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Those that are outside the church, outside of God's grace, then how do you deal with them? How do you deal with people that are not saved? Well, he says, the Christian way is to walk in wisdom toward them. Walk, the journey through your life. So learn wisdom and apply it as you deal with people that are not saved. And James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, generously, and upbraideth not. He does not chastise you for asking, and it shall be given him. Here seems to be the one prayer request that we never have to worry about it not being answered. Lord, I really need wisdom in this. Well, then take the time to get your Knave's Topical Bible, one way or the other. Look up that topic. See all the verses that are there. Memorize the ones that seem to be most important. But review them. Meditate on them. Gather God's wisdom to you. Ask his wisdom. He will show it to you. He will reveal his truth to you. And then you will have it. Now, those are the encouragements, but there are some prerequisites of gaining wisdom. Certain things have to be true before you'll be able to get wisdom. And those two things are, first, reverence for God. And this is where you do not hesitate to go to him for wisdom. You have a reverence, a fear of God that says, I want to do it his way, and woe is me if I don't. Listen to this string of verses. Deuteronomy 7:21, that thou shalt not be affrighted at them, that's the evildoers, for the Lord thy God is among you a mighty God and terrible. So God is on our side if we're listening to him. Then we don't have to be afraid. Nehemiah 1:5, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. So mercy for those who keep his commandments, because keeping his commandments is staying out of trouble. But he is a great and terrible God. That is one who can strike terror into your heart. Job 28:28, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. If you understand things the way they really are, you understand that evil is, sin is the death dealer, and you're courting death, so you're happy to depart from evil. That's understanding. Psalm 99:3, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Praise that name. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding or good success have all they that do his commandments, that do them. For his praise endureth forever. So fearing the Lord, this reverencing of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the principal part of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29, for they that hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They've actually turned against knowledge, against knowing the truth. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Before you come to the place of being honored, which I suppose most people look forward to that, you learn the humility of bowing before God. So, first of all, then, is the idea here of reverence for God. But then, God has given his wisdom in his word. So, the second part is receiving God's word. And with this, we close. Psalm 119:98-99. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. It is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Not something to share with your teachers, that you know more than they do, but in the case, and my wife and I have been there in the secular school system, where the teachers were basing their knowledge on a lack of understanding of the Word of God. We knew better. It wasn't our place to tell them that, but we understood that they didn't understand. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and then you will have the wisdom to teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why music? Because I think it speaks to us on an emotional level. I believe that music is language spoken with a high level of emotion. And so it touches our heart. So let the wisdom reach deep in the heart and share it with others through music. And then finally, 2 Timothy 3:15-17, the apostle writing to younger Timothy and knowing something of his background, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This word for child, by the way, is the word that can be used of the newborn or even the babe in the womb. We know now that the hearing is one of the first senses that a human being has developed, and that children have responded after birth to something they only heard while they were in the womb. One man was talking about how he found that mothers who sat down to watch a certain daytime soap opera, the baby, when after birth, the baby would hear that music and would automatically settle down and rest. He had been taught by the very attitude of the mother. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All of the scriptures is pointing us to trust in Christ as our Savior and to do that by faith. Then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Those are the two characteristics. It's God-breathed and it is profitable for us. So learning it, receiving God's word as God's word, means that we profit by it. We profit in wisdom. Profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, which is telling us that we did something wrong, for correction, how to do it right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to build upon that to where we know what's right. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished. The word here meaning perfected. May be perfect and perfected, completed, unto all good works. Unto all the things that are actually good, that God says is good, you're fit for that once you have known the word of God. So this is how we find the will of God. We turn to him with all reverence, and then we listen to him by receiving the word of God. All right, with that, I'll close in prayer. Our Father, we've had the list of prayer requests go before us, and we think of each one. We think of each one that has been given to us with a heart that was burdened. We think of those who are praying for loved ones, for family that are going through health problems. And we ask that you might be with each one of them. We know that you on this earth cared for your family, even at the cross, giving the care of your mother to John the Apostle. We ask that you might help us then to count on you to love these people even as we love them and to do the best for them. There are situations, Father, that are very difficult, emotionally problem things. We've just prayed that you might show work that they will be, that you will be the comfort to them. We recognize that with you we have all that we need. We can rest in thee. We can find our comfort in thee. And then we ask for physical needs, for timing needs, people that are needing to move or needing to move in. We ask that you might so guide and make these things work out just right. Help us then, Father, to care for one another. And as I called the folks, I asked them if they had needs that we might help. And so far, you've been meeting those needs in various ways, and sometimes through a very careful family. We appreciate that and love them for it. So guide and direct us then through this time. We pray, Father, that you might so work that the end of this restraint because of the fear of death, because of the fear of the flu. We might ask you take care of that soon and make it, reveal it to those around us that we don't have to be in hiding much longer. We pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Good night.